The following is a Sunday Fest lecture on the Bhagavad Gita Chapter 9, Text 29, given by Dhanavir Das Vanachari on November 22, 1992, in Tampa, Florida.
I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all, but whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. This is Lord Krishna speaking. We'll read the purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One may question here that if Krishna is equal to everyone and no one is His special friend, then why does He take a special interest in the devotees who are always engaged in His transcendental service? But this is not discrimination. It is natural. Any man in this material world may be very charitably disposed, yet he has a special interest in his own children. The Lord claims that every living entity, in whatever form, is His son, and so He provides everyone with a generous supply of the necessities of life. He is just like a cloud which pours rain all over, regardless of whether it falls on rock or land or water. But for His devotees, He gives specific attention. Such devotees are mentioned here. They are always in Krishna consciousness, and therefore, they are always transcendentally situated in Krishna. The very phrase Krishna consciousness suggests that those who are in such consciousness are living transcendentalists situated in Him. The Lord says here distinctly, Maite, they are in me. Naturally, as a result, the Lord is also in them. This is reciprocal. This also explains the words Yayatamam Prapadyante, tongues to type of Vajamyaham. Whoever surrenders unto me, proportionately, I take care of him. This transcendental reciprocation exists because the Lord and the devotee are conscious. When a diamond is set in a golden ring, it looks very nice. The gold is glorified, and at the same time, the diamond is glorified. The Lord and the living entity eternally glitter, and when a living entity becomes inclined to the service of the Supreme Lord, he looks like gold. The Lord is a diamond, and so this combination is very nice. Living entities in a pure state are called devotees. The Supreme Lord becomes the devotee of His devotees. If a reciprocal relationship is not present between the devotee and the Lord, then there is no personalist philosophy. In the impersonalist philosophy, there is no reciprocation between the Supreme and the living entity. But in the personalist philosophy, there is. The example is often given that the Lord is like a desire tree, and whatever one wants from this desire tree, the Lord supplies. But here the explanation is more complete. The Lord is here stated to be partial to the devotees. This is the manifestation of the Lord's special mercy to the devotees. The Lord's reciprocation should not be considered to be under the law of karma. It belongs to the transcendental situation in which the Lord and His devotees function. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. So, the key point here is that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is supplying everyone's desires. He happens to own everything, Bhoktadam, Yagatapasam, Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. And He controls everything. Ishvara Paramakrishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarna Karna. He owns everything, He controls everything. So, if anyone wants anything, they have to get it from Him. There was one billboard a few months ago as you drive on the motorway, and it was Barnett Bank, and it said, does anyone want anything? I like that, because yes, everyone wants so many things, and they were indicating that they have so much money that if you want something, we'll give you a loan, whatever you want, whatever you need. Of course, sometimes banks also fold. And still, even if you take the loan, you have to pay it back with interest. But when Krishna says, does anyone want anything, he really means it. And there are no strings attached. Whatever you want, you can have it. Whether it's something material, you can have that. Or if you want something spiritual, you can have that. Whatever you... Okay. Yes, whatever we want, we can get. But we have to also deserve before we desire. Now, I may want, for example, to have $1 million. But maybe I'm not very active. I want to just sleep and watch TV all day and also have $1 million. That doesn't work. If you want something, you can get it, but you have to make the endeavor. So some people, they want to be demigods. Have you heard the term demigod? Does everyone know it? Yeah, everyone. So a demigod is one of the empowered living entities who they live on different planets, and they are able to control, to a certain extent, the material energy. They are administrative heads. So if one is a demigod, then he gets a very materially opulent lifestyle along with it. That's part of a very long life, very intelligent, very beautiful body. This is demigod. Some people, they want that. And in order to get that position, they have to perform pious activities. And others, they're not so ambitious. They don't mind whether they're demigods. And they think, well, I don't mind. Even if I have the body of a pig, it's okay. Some people don't mind being pigs. The pigs are quite happy being pigs. They're very enthusiastic. They lie down anywhere. They can eat whatever they want, even up to the point of stool. And as far as sex life with anyone, doesn't make any difference, no discrimination. So they're happy with that life. They're not very high thinkers, though. They don't philosophize. They're not very concerned about the existential position of the living entity. They're just living, and they're eating and sleeping, mating and defending. However, we are advised by one of the great authorities, Nayam deho deha bhajam niloke kastan karman arhate vidbhujamye, that we're not supposed to be satisfied with that type of life, simply like the pigs. We're supposed to endeavor for something unlimitedly blissful. In other words, our nature as parts and parcels of Krishna, Mamaya Bhangso, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana, we're eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss. But right now, we're in a forgetful situation. Therefore, if we want to improve, if we want to attain our full capacity, complete success, complete perfection. Sometimes people say there's no such thing as perfection. They say only God is perfect. That's true. He's perfect in the highest sense. But just as in the analogy here, when you have a diamond and a gold ring, so the diamond is perfect, the gold may not have the same qualities as the diamond, but it can play its part. And when the diamond is set in the gold, it looks very nice. The gold is also glorified. So although we're not God, we never will be God, we cannot be perfect in that sense that we know everything, we control everything, but we can be perfect in that we're assisting Him perfectly. Just like my hand. My hand, it cannot do the work of the brain. The hand, we have to admit, this hand is not that intelligent. just doesn't have that much intelligence to figure out complicated mathematical problems or philosophy. But the hand has its value. So if the brain tells the hand, now type in this into the computer, then the hand plays its part. It may not be the brain, but still it can play an important part. So similarly, we're not the Supreme, but we have an important part to play. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, nimitta-matram bhava-savya-sajam. Just become an instrument in my hands, Krishna says. So this is, of course, not a very popular philosophy, to become the instrument of anyone. We're afraid that if I'm used by someone, that I'll be abused and exploited. But Krishna will not exploit us. And actually, we all have some experience of putting ourselves under the care of someone that we trust and who does not exploit us. Just like as a child, you were helpless. If your parents didn't take care of you, you wouldn't be here. You would have died, isn't it? We're not like some species where they're born and they're immediately able to cope for themselves. Some living entities, as soon as they come out, they immediately know what's food and what's not food, and they know what's danger. But the human species doesn't. If we come out and no one takes care of us, it's not that, well, I'll go out to the forest and I'll get some roots and, you know, I'll find some berries. And no, the baby just lies there and dies. So we're completely dependent upon the parents for our existence. And sometimes the parents misuse that position and they do cause harm to the child. But we have experience that our parents took care of us, they looked after us. Therefore, we have some respect and some faith in them, that they're not going to exploit us. When a parent takes the hand of the child follows, naturally. The child is quite trusting that my mother is not going to cause me any harm. So in the same way, Krishna is the supreme protector of all living entities. But we don't need to fear that if we put ourselves in his hands, that we will be exploited. He will not exploit us. What would he exploit us for? What would be the purpose? People exploit someone when they are in need, when they need something. But he's called Atmarama. He's completely self-satisfied. He doesn't need anything. There's one nice illustration. There's one incarnation of the Lord known as Nara Narayan. And so Cupid, there is such a thing as Cupid. Kamadev comes from the Sanskrit Kamadev. And so Cupid one time, he thought he would bewilder the mind of this form of the Lord, Nara Narayan. So he decided to bring some of his most beautiful ladies there. And they began dancing, scantily dressed, in front of Nara Narayan. And Cupid's idea was that when Cupid shoots his arrow, everyone becomes pierced by lust. And he thought that, oh good, Nara Narayan will also become pierced by lust and then he'll fall down from his position. Anyway, it was not a very well thought out plan, but he tried it anyway. So he was surprised to see that Nara Narayan himself was not at all agitated by the beautiful women. Didn't bother him at all. But rather, just to humiliate Cupid in a very nice way, from himself, he was creating many even more beautiful women, and they were coming out, emanating from him, by his mystic power. Just to show Cupid and everyone else that he has no interest in enjoying beautiful women because he can create unlimited beautiful women simply by his will. Just like a confectioner. He's making millions of sweets. So if you come and offer him, would you like a sweet? Okay. He's not so interested. I've got millions if I need a sweet. He's not needing anything. He's completely self-satisfied. Lakshmi sahasra sata sambhama sevyamanam. In the spiritual world, he has hundreds and thousands of the most beautiful Lakshmis, or goddesses of fortune, serving him. So why should he try to exploit in this material world? Or money. Someone may say, well, he's in need of money. Oh, he's owning everything. It is only by his will that these planets are remaining in their orbit. And when he breathes in his form of Mahavishnu, then all the universes come back within him. And it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was one great devotee, his name was... name the devotee who... it'll come to me. He prayed, Vasudeva Bhatti. He prayed that all the living entities in the universe should be free from their karma, and he would take all their reactions so they could go back to the spiritual world. This is compassion. Just like Lord Jesus Christ, he wanted to take the sinful reactions upon himself for his followers. So Vasudeva Dutt had even a broader idea. All the living entities, not just humans, but all living entities in the whole universe. And he was prepared to stay and suffer in the material world as Lord Jesus Christ suffered on the cross, supposedly. He was prepared to suffer for all their reactions. Lord Chaitanya told him that this is a very wonderful desire that you have. It's very compassionate. However, you don't actually have to suffer for them, because simply by your desire, the Lord will liberate all the living entities. And if all the living entities in this universe were to be free from their karma, they could go back to Godhead, and the whole planet, the whole universe, would be closed up. And even if it's closed up, the Lord would not consider it very important. Because just like if a man has a big bag of mustard seeds, has anyone ever cooked with mustard seeds? You know, how big are mustard seeds?
Huge.
A mustard seed is huge?
No, not the seeds, but we make the big box.
Yeah, but how big is one mustard
seed?
Very small, one mustard seed, about this big. So if you take one, so if a man has a big basket of mustard seeds, millions, and one drops out, does he worry about it? One drop, if someone says, oh, sir, sir, one of your mustard seeds dropped out. That's it. I have so many. Similarly, one universe, if it closes up and all the living inhabitants go back to the spiritual world, the Lord is not disturbed. So he owns everything. He's not in need of anything. He doesn't even need this universe, what to speak of, whatever you could offer him within the universe. So he has no need to exploit anyone. He already has everything. Therefore, we should have faith. He's all good. If God is not good, then we're in trouble. But God is good. The name God, or the word God, comes from good. He's all good. He actually has only good intentions for his living entities. And we get goodness from him. The more we associate with him and follow his instructions, the more good we develop. And you can see that. Those persons who are devoted to God, isn't it? We see they're very good people. They don't like to harm anyone. Brahmabhuta prasanatma mashochati nakanchati. Samap saveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. Those who are spiritually inclined, they see all living entities equally. They don't harm. They don't like to cause harm to any living entity. But those who are not very God conscious, just the opposite. They open up slaughterhouses. They don't care about the feelings of others. They can cheat and steal and kill without any consideration. If it makes money for them, then they'll annihilate a whole group of people. It doesn't make any difference. So that because as we stray away from God, we become more and more in darkness. And in darkness, people think they can do anything. But in the light of Krishna consciousness, then they behave very nicely. Yas yasti bhaktir bhagavat yakinchana sarvaya gunais tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya mahotma harava bhaktasya mano, I can't remember the verse. Yeah, anyway. The verse means that those who are developed, who are devotees of the Lord, they automatically develop good qualities. And those who are not devotees, then they cannot have any good qualities. Because they're simply on the mundane platform. Therefore, they cannot develop pure qualities, good qualities. They cannot actually be compassionate. They cannot actually be intelligent. So, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is equal to everyone. He considers all living entities his parts and parcels. But still, those who are his unalloyed devotees, he takes special care of them. Therefore, an intelligent person will take advantage of that. Krishna wants to give me special care, and why not take advantage of that? Why should I declare my independence that I don't need any help? That's foolishness. We do need help. People are so much plagued with anxieties and frustrations and stress, diseases. They go to the drugstore. Why do you think the drugstores are still going on strong? Because people are suffering. They go and give me some relief. Pain reliever. I need pain reliever. Why are the psychologists, you know, in the yellow pages? You look, one of the ones who take out the biggest ads now, they're the therapists. Yes, because people need relief. They're in anxiety. And the lawyers, the accident lawyers, why are they doing such a big business? They're not going out of business. Because people are suffering. They have accidents. Or the chiropractors, are you in pain? Says in big letter, I'll help you. So people are suffering. Why not take shelter or help from the person who can supply all of our needs and mitigate all of our sufferings? That is Krishna. And that is Krishna consciousness. Taking shelter of Krishna, all the pains go away, all the problems are solved, and then life is very blissful, very nice. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? If you have a question, in just a minute we'll answer your question. Okay? In just a minute. So, the surrendering process, there are six principles of surrender. The first item of surrender to Krishna is to accept whatever is favorable for the discharge of devotional service. For example, we read in the scriptures that to associate with saintly persons and devotees is very helpful for spiritual life. So, if I can associate more, that will be favorable. I'll accept it. Let's say I'm deciding where to move. Let's say I don't like where I'm living. So I think I've got to move somewhere. All right. Now, should I move closer to devotees or further away from devotees? Better I live closer, because that's favorable. Okay. Now, the next item of surrender is to reject whatever is not favorable for devotional service. Let's say I like to eat meat. It tastes good. But it's not helpful for my spiritual life, so I reject it. I'm going to give up eating meat. No more. Because it will not help me advance. It will not please Krishna. So I give it up. Even though I might like it, I don't do it because it's not pleasing to Krishna. Then the next item is to consider Krishna or God one's only protector. We discussed that a few. We've been discussing that today. And not have any interest outside of the interests of the Lord. In other words, one should not be thinking that I go to work and I make $100, so I give $2 to Krishna and I keep 98 for myself. No. One should think that everything I'm doing for Krishna. He has no interest outside. He's not separately thinking how he will be happy. His only business is to serve the Lord. And if he serves, then he knows the Master will take care of his servant. Just like, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're working for a bank. This is one of our favorite examples here, the bank example. You're working in a bank as a cashier. Now, they tell you, now here's what you do. When they give you money, you give them a receipt, you count it, etc., you put it in this box here, okay. And then when they ask for money, they give you a check and you give them money. So you just do that. All right. So the person who's employed by the bank, he just has to follow that. He doesn't have to think during the day in anxiety, well, I wonder if how am I going to get my own, how am I going to pay my rent? This person just gave $2,000, that would cover my rent. Maybe I'll take it. That's separate interest. No, you just do your work and the bank will supply your necessities. They'll give you your salary. You don't have to worry about your rent or your food, it's all included. But if a person's greedy, no, they're giving me what I need, but I want more. You see, they're giving me what I need. I can, you know, buy a Ford Escort, but I want a Jaguar. So I'll steal this money that comes in. It's not really belonging to me. It's not meant for me, but I'll steal it. So that's greediness. And when one does that, what happens? He's implicated in sinful activities, and he will have to pay the consequences. He'll be full of anxiety, first of all. He's always afraid he's going to get caught. He won't have any peace of mind. When the boss comes over and says, how are you? He says, fine, fine. Oh, we noticed you're driving a Jaguar now. Where'd you get the money for that? Oh, got a good deal in the paper. You know. He'll always be filled with anxiety, lying and afraid that someone will catch him. So he won't be happy. He thinks he's going to be happy by driving that little shinier piece of metal, but actually he'll still be full of anxiety. Whereas if he just accepts, all right, I drive a Ford Escort, that's my allotted quota, I'll be satisfied. So a devotee of the Lord accepts only those things which are necessary and are set aside as his quota, and he does not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. And similarly, another principle of surrender is to always be very meek and humble. Not proud and arrogant, but very humble and meek. So these are some ideas on surrender. And as far as practically speaking, chanting Hare Krishna, that is a very nice process. That is called Shravanam Kirtanam, hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we have so many books. You can read the books. You can chant them out loud. That will engage your mind. You can come and associate with devotees. You can inquire from them. You can eat Krishna prasadam, food that has been offered to Krishna. Not ordinary food. These are some ideas on how to surrender. And if you do that, if you engage in these activities, then more and more will be revealed to you. And of course, Krishna recommends that in order to advance, we need to approach his representatives and inquire from them, and they will guide us in spiritual life. Yes, surrendering to Krishna means you also follow the instructions of the spiritual master, and that takes place when one actually surrenders. It doesn't make any difference whether one is initiated or not, he can surrender to Krishna. That will come later. Just like, for example, in the Vedic system, they still have a thing called betrothal between men and women. So the man may become betrothed to the young lady. So at that point, they give their vow that they will remain faithful to each other. Even though they're not officially married yet, they may have to wait some time. So in the same way. Yeah. That's difficult. It's difficult to surrender to Krishna without a spiritual master. Because that's like going to the Goodyear Tire Company, to the factory, right, and asking them, you need a tire for your car. My car has it. You walk up to the factory, you know, there's a big fire burning and all these things, and you go up to the huge factory and they say, yes, what are you doing? Yes, how did you get in here? I just drove by. All right, anyway, you're here. What do you want? Well, come here for a minute. And you ask him to come over. He says, well, What do you want? No, come here, come here. You say, see, look at the tire there. It's not wearing very well on this side. I was thinking to get a different one. Do you have a 16, you know, point 13.7 or whatever? They go, well, you can't. What? You can't buy a tire here. We produce them, and then we send them out to the agents, the tire company. You can't come here and buy tires. What I want is a good. It says Goodyear. No. So in other words, that's a crude example. We're just giving an example. They have tires, but they have a way of distributing them also. So certainly Krishna has mercy, and he can satisfy any of our needs. That's a fact. But he arranges to do it through his representatives. And he says in Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninastatadarshanam. You approach the spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, render service unto him. He will impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. So in other words, Krishna has his own distribution arrangement. And he wants to engage his devotees in also teaching about him. And they enjoy that. In other words, though, if you've ever had the experience, I think you were the one who informed Brian a little bit about Krishna consciousness. Didn't you enjoy that? It was very nice. You enjoyed telling Brian about it. And Brian appreciated hearing from you. So this way you acted as a spiritual master. You acted as a guru. Now how would Brian have been able to just immediately connect with Krishna without your help? You told him a little bit. And you found out because you read the Bhagavad Gita. But you heard from Srila Prabhupada also. He made it easier for you to understand what Krishna was saying. Otherwise, if you just go to Bhagavad Gita directly without any devotee's help, then you might become confused. In other words, we have to be very, very qualified to approach Krishna directly. And we become qualified by the help of the spiritual master. For example, let's say your eyes are defective. You cannot see very well. So, does that mean that you should live with just defective eyes? No, you may take some help from glasses. The glasses bring things into focus for you. That doesn't mean that, oh, now the glasses are in between me and the object, therefore the glasses are an impediment. No, they're actually helpful. So the spiritual master is like that. He's between you and Krishna, but actually he makes your relationship with Krishna more direct and more close. You had a question?
I was wondering if the Krishna deities have a law.
A law?
They say that there's one there and there's heaven and hell, and then there's one there.
Yes.
When you're in one, can Krishna go to hell?
Krishna, no. Krishna always lives in his own abode in the spiritual world.
He needs to pull you out of hell, right?
Will
Krishna save you even if you're in limbo? Yes.
Well,
if you want.
Can Krishna be unsaved?
No, Krishna is.
Bible is the Bhagavad Gita in comparison with the Bible?
No, let me explain.
Religion?
Let me explain. Krishna is always. Yeah, one question at a time. Krishna is always liberated. He's always completely pure. He never is under the influence of the modes of material nature. Maya dakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. It's working under his direction. So he's always free, completely pure. And if you are involved or you are entangled in material life, Krishna can pull you out. He's complete, like the sun. The sun is so pure that the sun can even extract the contaminated substance of a dirty place and not become contaminated. That's Krishna. So you just surrender to Krishna and you'll become purified. And then you can go back to home, back to God.
Aside from Jesus Christ and God, Krishna, other
religions
actually evil?
No, it's not evil. It's all good. Krishna is all good.
Does it relate to Mother Nature?
Yes, Mother Nature is his wife. And he's the father. You had a question?
Yeah.
Did you take any time to memorize these
verses? Did it take a long time? Not such a long time. Some of the verses. You start with one. Do you like the verses?
Something, is it like ABCs? You have to learn it from like your ABCs?
No. No, you just hear. You hear the verses and then you start to
memorize.
If you like a particular verse, you can memorize it. I think the first verses I was interested in learning were the Isha Upanishad verses. Om Purna Madat Purna Midam. In fact, we met one lady last night in Ybor City. We were chanting out there. This lady had been associated with the devotees about 20 years ago. And she came up and she said, Om Purna Madat Purna Midam Purnat Purna Udachate. She knew the whole verse. She had remembered it. So, you can remember these verses as you like. There are so many nice verses to memorize.
Prabhu, please read the last sentence you read in the beginning.
Last sentence of the whole purport?
Right. The last sentence that you read.
Of the purport.
Right.
All right. Devotional service to the Lord is not an activity of this material world. It is part of the spiritual world, where eternity, bliss, and knowledge predominate. All right. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much.